The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Yowza. 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 Folks, that's the only proper introduction I can give my friend John Zmirak. I hope, audience members, if you're watching this on Rumble or wherever you're getting this, that you've put on your asbestos jumpsuit, because it's going to get crazy up in here. John Zmirak, my friend, welcome.
Thank you, Eric. It's good to be on, and happy birthday. I saw one of your emails.
Thank you very much. Yes. Yesterday was my birthday. And you know what? Pretty much every year around this time, I get a birthday. So I'm not special, but I just want to say it's happening every year now. And I don't think everybody can say that. More importantly, John, is that today is Mike Lindell's birthday.
Oh, wow. Well, My two beagles are enjoying their awesome MyPillow dog bed.
He's got dog beds. He's got human beds. Whatever you're looking for, my friend Amanda Grace got one of those beds and is using it for her hog, or is it a pig?
Wow.
Noble the pig. Yeah. Anyway, any kind of animal or non-animal, go to MyPillow.com. Use the code Eric. But John, you wrote an article at stream.org, and I want, again, to reiterate, we have a homework assignment, a standing assignment in this class. People need to go to stream.org and print out your articles, Zmirak with a Z-M-I-R-A-K. Leave them around the house. Leave them around the food court at the mall, because you write things that nobody else is writing. So the article, the new article you have today, and what's today, Monday,
yeah,
is titled...
The left sees black Americans as cannon fodder, captive votes, and cudgels, not human beings. And the illustration is a little black sock puppet. And we had to crop it because it was a vertical, not a horizontal. It's too bad because in the original picture, you see a white hand inside the black sock puppet.
That, oh, yeah. You might as well say the white left. The white left,
yes,
sees black Americans as cannon fodder, cudgels, and captive votes, or whatever you want to say. Okay, so tell us why you wrote this.
The founders of critical race theory, the leaders of the woke movement, have admitted that their movement is fundamentally Marxist. If you read any of their academic stuff, when they're writing to their fellow intellectuals, they're always quoting Marx. And they're saying that a Marxist dialectic is what's essential, Marxist analysis. Black liberation theology is literally just Marxism with blacks put in for the proletariat. Historical Marxism failed because the working class wanted absolutely nothing to do with it, especially once they'd had a taste of it. So in order to reinvent itself, Marxism, those who find Marx's cynical, misanthropic, materialist view of the world convincing, it scratches their envy bump or something, they had to find a new group because the workers didn't want anything to do with them. If you think back to the late 1960s, early 70s in New York, hard hats were having fights with hippies in the street. And at that point, Nixon knew he was going to win the election in 68. So since the hard hats want nothing to do with Marxism, they're looking for new groups, racial minorities, sexual minorities, a religious minority, anybody who can be convinced that he's a victim, that the system our founding fathers created was fundamentally evil, because anything that's not communism is evil, and the whole thing has to be torn down, bulldozed, and then a whole new society built in poured cement and brutalist architecture on the ruins. What's interesting is historical Marxism was exactly like this. I don't know if you ever interviewed Paul Kengor.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Several times. Paul Kinger has written tremendous books. Yeah.
Yeah. His book, The Devil and Karl Marx, he documents how historically the working class, once they were exposed to Marxism, didn't want anything to do with it. Because the working class movements in the 19th century, they wanted things like the 8-hour workday. They wanted an end to child labor. They wanted women out of the workplace. They didn't want foreigners brought in to compete with them to bring down their wages. They had very real, specific, concrete requirements to make the lives of the working class better. Marxism has nothing to do with that. It would always sneer at that as reformism and say that it actually delayed the revolution if you made the workers less miserable. The Marxists said the only way to solve the problems of the industrial economy is a complete utopian reinvention of the human condition, where there is no private property, no family, no religion, and no state.
Okay, and by the way, I would just want to interrupt to say that if that worked, I would be all for it. The reason I and John are against it is because it is a fantasy. It's been proven not to work. And people who seem to think this time it'll work, I want to say, folks, there are real human beings, and John's talking about them, suffering because of these ideas. So if you care about the poor, if you care about minorities, oppressed groups, marginalized groups, you need to understand that there is no hope for them in this model. Now, we're just talking about reality. This is not even ideology. Yeah. This is just, it doesn't work. It cannot work. But why, John, let me ask you, why do you think the people behind this, the BLM gang and the people who are basically cultural Marxists, why do you think they keep pushing this? Do you think they have any idea that this could work? I mean, they have to have some idea. And by the way, if those are my favorite beagles in the world, please don't muzzle them. Let them talk.
Sorry.
No, I love them.
I'm sorry.
I do. The barking humanizes this program. We're not. This is not Firing Line. We've got dogs on this program.
If I'm on the program, there are going to be dogs there whether I want.
That's right.
Well, I just want to know why these people don't just go pick up and move to Zimbabwe. They have black Marxism there. It doesn't work any better than white Marxism. You know, why would it be any different here? And in my piece at stream.org, I say, well, first of all, I go into more deeply into the connection between Marxism and wokeism and critical race theory. They are literally the same thing. And what you saw in Marxism was the Marxists, because the ordinary workers didn't want anything to do with them, they tried to infiltrate and take over the leadership of their labor unions. Ronald Reagan became a conservative because as head of the Screen Actors Guild, he was sick of watching the communists try to take over the actors union. And if you read Elia Kazan's autobiography, Elia Kazan, a wonderful director, his autobiography, A Life, he talks about why he testified against Hollywood communists. Because in the 1930s, he would be sitting in a meeting of Hollywood writers, and once a man came in Communist Party uniform with orders by telegram from Joseph Stalin's people demanding changes in a Hollywood movie, and they made the changes. So Joseph Stalin was censoring the Hollywood media in the 1930s via communists in the labor unions.
And guess what? The Chinese are doing it today. We're not joking. Right. I'm not joking. Hollywood is in bed with China. It used to be, for what I would say is good ideological reasons, they believed in certain good things, even though they were wrong. Today, it's money. Hollywood doesn't care. If they need to change some things to please the Chinese communists who are wicked, who are harming people, they will do it. They don't care.
Right. So once again, as in the 1930s, we have foreign totalitarian regimes interfering with our popular culture and pulling the strings on what you and I are able to watch. I'm watching right now a Netflix miniseries, The Secret City. And it seems like Communist China might be the villain, but I'm kind of sitting on the edge of my seat because I've got this gross feeling that by the end, the Americans will somehow be the villains. I'll let you know, Eric, how it turns out. But I can't believe that they're portraying the brutality of Communist China on a moving picture screen with something that's not like made by the Epoch Times or come from Taiwan. By the way, everybody, the Epoch Times should be a newspaper of record. It's literally the only newspaper I bother to read. I have a print subscription. It's a group of Chinese anti-communist dissidents who do great reporting.
We'll be right back talking to John Zmirak. Don't go away. Hey folks, are you concerned about memory loss for you or a loved one? Viva Laura's founder prayed that God would show her the solution to memory loss because her mother had dementia. After many divine encounters combining faith and her background as a pharmacist, Susan Gibson created Viva Laura Memory Support. Viva Laura is a premium quality all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. It won awards and has 3 books independently written about it. Visit VivaLaura.com for testimonials about the life-changing improvements people have experienced. VivaLore is for those with normal memory, mild or severe memory loss. Don't wait until your memory slips. The pathology starts 20 years before your first memory loss symptom. That's VivaLore, VivaLore.com. Check it out. Remember, VivaLore is a premium quality all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. VivaLore is V-I-V-O-L-O-R at VivaLore.com. Enter promo code 20 for 20% off. VivaLore.com, V-I-V-O-L-O-R.com. Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like 4? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day, to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out. Folks, I'm talking to John Zmirak. What more do you need to know? John Zmirak, you were talking about the Epoch Times. It's E-P-O-C-H. Epoch,
yeah.
Times. When I was at the NRB the other day, I was interviewed by a reporter for the Epoch Times, and we're going to post that online. But I got to tell you, you just said that they're the paper of record. They're the paper. I have to agree. I don't think there is another paper that comes close to it. In other words, if you want to read somebody who is just printing the news, the Epoch Times is it.
That's
and
right.
They've kind of come out of nowhere. It's a little bit astonishing that they've been able to pull this off.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're strongly motivated. They're members. I think the people behind it are members of the Falun Gong meditation movement.
Yeah.
And they became enormously popular in China. And because they were a popular movement that wasn't under the direct thumb of the Communist Party, they got persecuted viciously, just as the Tibetans are getting persecuted, the Uyghurs, the Catholics, the Baptists, any group that is not a puppet of the Chinese Communist Party gets crushed. And we're seeing similar things on a smaller scale here in America. I mean, look what they were able to do with the reporting on the Hunter Biden laptop before the election. You had a whole team from the deep state of all these people with all these titles who'd worked for the CIA and the NSA under Republican as well as Democrat administrations, all saying, well, we haven't seen the laptop and we have no evidence, but you can trust us that this sounds like Russian disinformation.
Yeah.
And that's all that got reported, and it changed the course of the official results of the election, because even among the people who admit they voted for sleepy Joe Biden, 17% said they would have voted differently if they had known about the Hunter Biden laptop showing his connections to Chinese communist intelligence officials. our elites lied to us, our media managed the lie, and then the people stealing the election weaponized the lie. And that is how it worked in communist countries like Czechoslovakia in 1948 when they faked the election in order to hand power over to the communists because Stalin wanted control of the country. We're watching the same Marxist playbook over and over.
Okay, and this is why, my fellow Americans, we have to wake up. There's evil in the world. And why should it surprise us that if they could, they wouldn't try to take over this country? Why would we act as though that's not possible? We've been really blessed for so many years that we kind of think like, well, nobody could do that. We're America. Well, they're working really hard. While we're watching reality TV, they're working 24/7 on this. And they have made tremendous inroads. What's that?
If they can't take it over completely, seamlessly, they want to divide it. They want to turn blacks against whites, Christians against Jews, religious against non-religious. They want the country divided and weak. That's what China wants. China doesn't want a strong, disciplined Marxist America. It wants a chaotic America where police and black people are fighting it out in the streets and the Proud Boys are fighting it out with Antifa. They want us in chaos. When China was in chaos in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, they were colonized by Germany and France and England. That's what they foresee for us. They want us to be in the same chaotic, internally divided condition that China was during its period of humiliation in the early 20th century. But I want to point out the Marxist connection. When the Russian communists were ruling the Soviet Union, when the Chinese communists were under Mao, were imposing communism on China, who genuinely suffered? The working class and the peasants. The very people they were supposed to be governing in the name of were the ones whose bodies piled up in the streets. According to genocide scholar R.J. Rummel, 62 million civilians were murdered by the Soviet Union, by the government. 73 million Chinese were murdered by Mao's government. Now, Joseph Stalin had a joke. One death is a tragedy. A million is a statistic. Only a Marxist would find that funny. But I would point out, in the blue cities in America that are governed by Democrats, are governed by the left, how do black people live? What are the crime rates? How many thousands killed every year? What about the economic the poverty, the lack of economic opportunity, the lack of initiative, the lack of jobs? Those are our version of Marxism, or the closest we've come to Marxism. So we have an internal experiment. We can see, in the blue cities, you have riots and the police aren't allowed to stop them and the people don't go to jail and they don't pay the price. But if you try to defend your store, you'll go to prison. You'll be charged with murder like Kyle Rittenhouse and Jake Gardner, whom they goaded to suicide. And then a state senator, Democrat, gloated about his death on Twitter. Read Ann Coulter on Jake Gardner, everybody. Google Jake Gardner and read Ann Coulter's column about him. This is an American veteran and small business owner who tried to defend his store and his elderly father from rioters in Omaha, Nebraska. And when the local prosecutor wouldn't press charges, Black Lives Matter activists kicked into action. They found a prosecutor who would charge him. GoFundMe wouldn't let him raise money for an attorney. His landlord kicked him out, so he had nowhere to live. His bar was closed. He was bankrupt. He committed suicide. And the left-wing Democrat state senator who led this, a woman, went on Twitter and gloated about his death but said it wasn't enough. This is what we're facing. And if you look at the blue cities and what happened during the George Floyd riots, where you just expected to let people rob your store, destroy everything you'd built up, Black Korean store owners devastated, these people utterly unpunished, these many of them white Marxists who come in from out of town. And then you look at abortion. You look at the same people who say Black Lives Matter. They don't think that when Planned Parenthood is cutting up black babies in abortion clinics and selling their organs for profit. At the end of this column, I point out, George Floyd's death was a tragedy. 19 million aborted black babies is a statistic.
Ouch. Boy, John, This is really sobering, but we need some sobering up. People, folks, we need to wake up and figure out what we can do. And then you have to figure out what role has your silence played in allowing this evil to move forward. We're going to have
to
wake
up. Silence in churches. Silence in churches. The Southern Baptist Convention is fighting over whether critical race theory will take over Baptist seminaries, whether Marxism will take over Baptist seminaries. Run that through your head. If that doesn't alarm you, then you're not paying attention or you just don't care anymore.
People need to make sure they don't give any money to their church unless they know the answers to these questions. Folks, I hate to say it, but there are a lot of good people are really lost. A lot of leadership in churches, they're ignorant of stuff. And because of their ignorance, they are fearful and they go with the flow. They're doing tremendous damage. Make sure they're not doing it with your money, with your hard-earned money. I heard the other day, I don't know where I was, I think I was in Dallas, somebody told me that the Greek Orthodox Church in New York had done an event at St. Bart's Episcopal Church. St. Bart's has the big rainbow flag hanging out front, and they did it during Pride Month. I have to get the details on that. But folks, churches that never would have dreamt of doing this kind of thing are now doing it. Make sure you don't put money in the collection plate or you don't mail them a check until you know the answers to this stuff, because it is an amazing thing that if you just go with the flow today, you're going to go over the waterfalls. You're heading in the wrong direction. We have to wake up. Look, this was happening in Germany in 33 and 34.
Right.
Bonhoeffer was trying to warn people against it, and they didn't listen until it was too late, and by then it doesn't count. I hope in this country there are enough people who care and who've seen this played out before. So many people have read my Bonhoeffer book. I'm thinking, you don't need to have me explain it to you. It's in the book. You can see how a good nation, a civilized nation, a Christian nation ostensibly, can make some mistakes and go in a direction until they wake up. And then it's too late. Well, that can't happen here, folks. A lot of us are still not awake or we're not willing to speak up. You've got to be willing to speak up. You've got to be willing to use your dollars to fund the right things and not to fund the wrong things. Corporate America has no principles, absolutely no principles. They will do anything you say. You want them to say, I hate blacks? They'll say it. Oh, you want them to say, I'm for BLM? They'll say that. They don't care. Like, whatever they're told to say, they have no values. They don't really care about the poor. They don't really care. They just don't want to be bothered. So whatever they need to say, and in Germany, they said Heil Hitler. Here, they'll just say what they want to say. They will post whatever they need to post. Some of them actually think they're doing a good thing. Others, they just don't care. They're just going to do what they can to buy insurance. If the mafia tells them, do this and do that, buy this and don't buy that, they'll do it. Right now, we have a corporate America that those of us who go to these stores, whether it's Starbucks, Nike, I hope you'll never, ever buy another Nike product. But we need to wake up. When we come back, we're talking to John Zmirak. Don't go away.
Thinking that life has passed them by. Don't give up until you drink from the silver cup and ride that highway in the sky.
Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their healthcare, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back. PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true health care, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110.
Eric Metaxas here. We've been stuck inside for, what, a year and a half? I think it's time to go outside now and turn your yard into a paradise with fastgrowingtrees.com. Skip the big box stores and head to fastgrowingtrees.com, the world's largest online nursery. No more waiting in lines, messy cars, digging through a lackluster selection. Just go to fastgrowingtrees.com and choose from thousands of varieties of trees, shrubs, plants expertly curated to thrive in your area and delivered to your door in 1 or 2 days. Whether you're looking for shade, privacy, fruit trees, or just added color for your yard, every plant is shipped with a well-developed root system ready to explode with new growth. Join over a million satisfied gardeners at fastgrowingtrees.com. Plus, the 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee means your plants will arrive happy, healthy, and ready for planting. Now through July 31st, go to fastgrowingtrees.com for 15% off. That's 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com/Eric. 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 Folks, welcome back. I got some good news for you. My guest is John Zmirak. John, you wrote an article at stream.org. I was chilled by it. It's about North Vietnam. I hope people saw it on my social media, but if they didn't, they can go to stream.org. Very important article. What's it about?
It's called "This Isn't Your Father's America, More Like His North Vietnam." And in it, I talk about all the ways in which our freedoms are being shut down, in which a racial hate campaign aimed at white people is being promoted officially by major corporations and by agencies of the government. And it's a lot like the Marxist hate campaign that was aimed at property owners in countries like Russia and China and North Korea and North Vietnam, where they demonized anyone who owned a business or had a farm over a certain size. They were bourgeois exploiters. The same kind of irrational hatred is now being aimed at straight white males, meaning all the founders of the United States, pretty much, and all the fathers of the Christian church and the authors of the Bible and most of the missionaries, men like William Wilberforce. They're all being demonized based on their race, their religion, and their culture. America's not supposed to be about that. But our elites have found that this is a potent combination that allows them to make money hand over fist while pretending to be agents of social justice, to buy off people like Al Sharpton, to buy into people like Joe Biden, and to silence the rest of us. And what provoked me to write this was, you know, there's a federal law against selling baby parts for profit, right? Well, that law is just disregarded by Planned Parenthood. David DeLeiden decided to try to investigate that. He tried to work within the law. He did the same kind of sting journalism that is used to catch pedophiles, that people use when they infiltrate factory farms to see if the animals are being mistreated. The answer, sadly, is yes. So he went to public events where Planned Parenthood, like conventions, they have abortion conventions, in case you didn't know. And he went to the conventions and talked to people at lunch, and he recorded it. And he talked to Planned Parenthood officials and pretended he was from a company that wanted to buy unborn baby organs, which are used in research. And he offered them money, and they said, yes, yeah, we'll do it. We'll change the procedure. We'll alter it. We'll try to keep the child alive long enough so we can harvest the eyeballs for you, or the lungs, or the scalp. And he documented all that. He made it public. Kamala Harris, then the Attorney General of California, big recipient of Planned Parenthood campaign money, she prosecuted him for allegedly invading their privacy. Now, then her successor, Javier Becerra, continued the case. He is now head of the HHS. So the most radical abortion advocates in America, the worst of the worst, the Larry Flints of the abortion industry, are at the highest levels of government now.
But wait a minute. A lot of friends of mine, evangelicals, they voted for Joe Biden. You're telling me that they have installed pro-murder monsters.
And they promised to before the election.
That's very, very interesting, John. I hate to hear this.
I don't have any friends who voted for Joe Biden. Not anymore.
Well, I'm using the term lightly, but it's an amazing thing that people actually thought that might be a good idea. And you're telling me, yeah. I mean, look, I had that, you know, debate conversation with David French. He was saying that Biden is moderate and, you know, like arguing like I'm crazy to think anything other than that. And the reality is what you're telling me is chilling. If there were nothing else, there's lots more. But if there, what's that?
We haven't even gotten to the bad part. In the article, I say, okay, fine. I'm beaten down. I can accept that baby parts from murdered children are going to be sold for profit. And I can accept that Dr. Fauci set up for Frankenstein experiments with them at the University of Pittsburgh. They're sewing the scalps from aborted babies onto mice to create human-animal chimp chimeras, because obviously magic science reasons say we need that. Probably it's to cure baldness, so we're going to use unborn babies to cure baldness. Let's accept that that's all normal and that's all fine. And it's fine that the government's trying to imprison a journalist, David DeLayden, for trying to expose this. But now it's even worse. The government is trying to stop David DeLayden from calling defense witnesses. They're trying to rule out 67 relevant witnesses that David DeLayden is trying to call in his defense. And he's not calling Kathy Ireland and Pope Benedict. He's calling his colleagues from the Center for Medical Progress. He's calling Planned Parenthood officials who can testify to that they were selling baby organs. He's calling relevant experts and directly involved people. And the state of California is trying to get rid of, not let him have any witnesses. And my plea to the left, so to our fellow Yale grads who are now pulling the strings, who are running the hive in which we live like worker bees, if you're going to have political show trials in support of the mass murder of children, could you at least make them a little more plausible, a little more realistic, just for old time's sake? I mean, the 4th of July is coming up. Some of us would like to pretend we still live in something like a free country. So could the political show trials of people like David DeLayden and the peaceful protesters from January 6th who are still rotting in solitary confinement in D.C. gulags, could we just fake it a little better so that when you inevitably convict them and send them to the gulag, we can still have a little bit of self-respect? Is that too much to ask, Eric, for the 4th of July?
I don't think it is. We're talking to John Zmirak, folks. Why would you go away?
He talked at me and he smiled. Said, come and walk with me. Come and walk one more mile. Now for
they're gonna put me in the movies. They're gonna make the big
Oh, hello. I'm talking to John Zmirak. Ladies and gentlemen, on this program, we try to bring you the best. Normally, we fail. But every week, John Zmirak comes on. He is the best. And we're talking to him right now. You have a standing homework assignment on this program. You need to go to stream.org. If you can't spell it, I apologize. Stream.org. Please go there. Find John's articles. John, we have another article about Tom Hanks I'd like you to talk about.
Sure. The title is This Woke Critic Wants Tom Hanks to Jump into the Volcano. Now, I'm not sure all your listeners are going to remember. I think Tom Hanks' best movie was Joe versus the Volcano, which was 1990. He plays a beaten down blue collar guy who works in Long Island City, Queens, for a factory that makes rectal probes. And it is a very unpleasant work environment, and he's treated very badly. He's a very timid guy, former firefighter, got traumatized, and became a hypochondriac. He ends up being given a false diagnosis of a terminal disease called a brain cloud. And a billionaire offers him money to sail to the South Seas and jump into – he offers him money like, I'll let you live really wonderfully for your last 6 months, but then I need you to jump into a volcano. There's this island where this vital mineral is, and the natives believe that if somebody doesn't jump in the volcano once every 100 years – It'll erupt, and they won't let me have the mineral. Okay, so it's a crazy, wacky story with Meg Ryan playing three different women wonderfully. It's a funny, charming, sweet story. The critics hated it. I love it. I've seen it like six times. Joe versus the Volcano. Okay, so why did I mention this? Because, you know, you and I don't think of Tom Hanks as a conservative. He gives money to the most left-wing causes. He gives to the Clinton Foundation. He probably gives to Planned Parenthood. He gives to all these left-wing things. But he doesn't rub his politics in our faces on things like Twitter. He doesn't denounce little red-haired girls for having red hair.
He's no Bob De Niro. That's what you're trying to say.
Right. He's smart. He has to keep his image. And his image is as the everyday good guy, like the new Jimmy Stewart.
Right.
I think he has almost typecast himself as the good guy.
Yeah.
I would like to see him play John Wayne Gacy, the killer party clown. That would be interesting. The way it was interesting when Robin Williams, after Dead Poets Society, he did about 5 or 6 stories in which he was this clown who was crucified by the authorities, but who redeemed and saved everyone. It got really sickening. Then to his credit, Robin Williams started playing psychopathic killers, which was much more convincing.
It's about time. Go ahead.
I would like to see Tom Hanks play a psychopathic killer. But here's what happened. Tom Hanks wrote a very nice liberal but sane editorial for the New York Times about how we need to learn some of the dark side of American history, like the 1921 Tulsa race riots, where white Klansmen and racists attacked a black neighborhood and killed dozens of people and burned their neighborhoods. And it was terrible. It was like the George Floyd riots. And he said we should teach about that. Well, you would think liberal black movie critics would like that, right? He's saying a good thing. No, this critic, Eric Deggans, actually wrote a column saying Tom Hanks needs to atone for his own sins. And do you know what Tom Hanks' sins are, Eric?
Can I guess?
He has
smiling as a white man in America.
Playing white male characters.
Whoa.
Who are virtuous.
Ouch.
Who do virtuous things.
How dare he? I'm angry now.
Yeah, see, he is sending the message that white males are often good and often do good things.
That's crazy talk, man.
Yes, it is. And Eric Deggans wrote that that's the problem. So really, Tom Hanks needs to spend the rest of his life atoning for playing virtuous white male characters and instead helping to spread the message that white men are evil and basically need to jump into the volcano, Eric, where we're coming back to Joe versus the volcano. This Eric Deggans is like the doctor who lies to Joe in Joe versus the volcano, tells him he's got a brain cloud. That brain cloud, that imaginary illness, that's the systemic racism everybody's talking about. It is nonsense. It is a delusion. We have an enormous federal bureaucracy designed to stomp out racism, stomp out sexism, now stomp out transphobia. If anything, we are caught up in a delusion trying to impose absolute equality of results at the expense of freedom, freedom of contract, freedom of association, at the expense of hundreds of billions of dollars wasted on these racial enforcement bureaucracies. But we still have systemic racism. It is just like the witch doctor telling Tom Hanks' character to jump into the volcano.
Is the witch doctor played by Abe Vigoda?
No, Abe Vigoda is the guy on the island. He's the chief of the natives, who are a blend of Polynesians and diaspora Jews. And they love orange soda.
That's Abe Vigoda in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Did I tell you on my way to get my first colonoscopy, it was about 95 degrees, humid in New York. I was staggering up Third Avenue, feeling incredibly wretched and thinking about what lay ahead at the doctor's office for me. And out of the mist staggered Abe Vigoda. And I thought, this is the human incarnation of how I feel right now. I didn't bother him. I let him walk past me and into eternity. John.
Eric, yes. This should go into your next book, your next Miracles book. I saw Abe Vigoda, too, for my colonoscopy. I think every man sees Abe.
That is not true. Stop. That's very funny. That is very funny. Every man. They don't talk about it, but they all see Vigoda.
Right.
They all see on their way to their first colonoscopy. It's a beautiful thing. It's you know what? It's a given in this reality. It's just one of those things that every man has to experience. Well, let me ask you, John, when we talk about transphobia, we've just got a minute or so left, but
yeah.
I think parents who are unwilling to tell their kids the truth that there are men and women, and if you're a boy, you're going to be a man, and if you're a woman, if you're a girl, you're going to be a woman. Parents don't have the guts to do that. They are now doing child abuse because kids are so confused. It is evil. It is evil. And parents in America many of them just don't seem to have the guts to stand against the craziness because they're hanging out with the wrong people. They're afraid to speak up. They think it's politically incorrect to say that you're a boy. Oh, yeah, then you're a boy. They can't say that. I was at a doctor's appointment recently, and the doctor asked me about it. He said a patient came to me, blah, 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 blah. And he was like kind of afraid to bring it up. I thought, guy, like, this is – everybody knows this is crazy stuff. These children are – their heads are being played with. Anyway, we've got 10 seconds. Go.
My parents, and I think like your parents thought, we have the, it's our constitutional right. We drop our kids off at the school and they do the job. And it shouldn't be our problem to ask what they're being taught or to fix it.
Used to be. John Zmierak, we love you. Folks, go to stream.org, find John's articles, print them out, share them with the world.
You can't never tell. The movie's gonna make.
Wowza.
Wow.
I think that was John Zmierak.
I think so.
That we just kicked to the curb. Well, I tell you, folks, what we have to look forward to this week, I promise you, this is another reason. I mean, look, I'm not kidding. Go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for my newsletter. You don't get advertisements, you don't get anything, but you get a lot of the stuff that we do that you're not getting. I had a conversation with Charlie Kirk the other day.
Yes.
It was one of the most fun, interesting conversations I've had in a long, 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 long time. It's going to be on this program. We're going to send you the video, but you have to go to ericmetaxas.com and you have to sign up for the newsletter. Please. And folks, if you've got a group of friends and you have their emails, sign them up for the newsletter because they will thank you. And if anybody doesn't want to be on it, they can unsubscribe in a millisecond or a femtosecond if they're really quick. Mm. The newsletter is at ericmetaxas.com. You'll see it. Sign up for my newsletter. I want to say that. There's a lot of other news, Albin, that I want to say today. I guess I want to warn people, if you're not signed up for the newsletter, you're going to miss the Charlie Kirk thing. You don't want to miss it. You'll see. When you get it, you're going to want to send the video to people. And also, perhaps more amazing, I did a breakfast panel.
That's right.
With Vody Baucom Jr., he's my new hero, and Charlie Kirk, and it was moderated by our friend Owen Strawn. It was at the crack of dawn, and we talked about social justice versus biblical justice. We talked about why critical race theory is a bad thing, and you need to be aware of why it is a bad thing. The panel that we did, the conversation that we did, everywhere I went at NRB, people said, that was the most amazing panel. Yeah. That was amazing. Now, obviously, most of that was Vody and Charlie and Owen. But I got to be a part of it. And I'll tell you, I don't think you want to miss it because I think this is the kind of thing you want to send to your friends, to your pastors. And in fact, I'm asking you again. People always say, hey, what can I do? You could do this.
Yeah.
You could, if you're not subscribed to my newsletter, go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for the newsletter. You'll get these videos. When you get this video of this breakfast panel that I did with Vody Baucom Jr. and Charlie Kirk and Owen Strawn and myself talking about critical race theory and biblical justice versus social justice, you're going to want to send this to everyone you know who is drifting over into the woke world or because of misguided reasons of compassion. You know, people have good reasons. They care about the poor. They care, and they have gotten sucked into some of this stuff. And I just want to say, folks, you need to appreciate their heart, but you have to educate their minds and say, if you care about the poor, that's not the way. And if they say why, they can listen to this video. Vody has, of course, written a book called Fault Lines. But
yeah.
I want people to have these resources because these resources are important. Very important. Some of this is just fun. And by the way, we had a ton of fun on the panel. A lot of joking.
Laughs. Seriously, a lot of laughs. Serious subject, but a lot of laughs. Yeah.
But I want to say that we have to all work together to get the message out because there are many good people, friends of mine. They're lost. They're confused on this stuff. And so we don't want to condemn them, but we want to help them to see these ideas are not going to help the people they want to help.
And by the way, wrapping this up a little bit, Nutramedics. I want to mention this one more time because I was taking Nutramedics when I was in at the NRB, and it really helped. I needed that brain boost.
Right.
You get it. Get the supplements at Nutramedics.
I'm telling you what Nutramedics.com did for you, and I know you used the code, Eric, but what
taller.
It did for you, when I saw you doing that breakdancing and popping and locking, and I was like, who's that? They say, that guy? That's Albin Sadar. I said, no way. And then when you came over, it really was you. I said, Albin, what's your secret? What are you on, man? And you said, Nutramedics.com, Nutramedics.com. Use the code Eric. And then finally, I understood.
You did.
Until then, I had no idea what Nutramedics.com, use the code Eric, could do for somebody like you. And I started taking it, and I'm popping and locking, and I'm breaking myself right now. Thanks for listening.